السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, we continue with the khutbah from last Jumu'ah called the Quranic formula of success. And I recall that I left you at the point of the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked this question, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Do you take something from the book? Do you believe in something from the book and you leave out the rest? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised punishment in this dunya and akhirah for people who approach the deen in that way. Selective obedience is disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands complete and total obedience. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Allah said, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely and fully and do not follow the footsteps of Sayyid Shaitan, who is your manifest and clear enemy. And therefore, we need to examine our own lives and see what is happening. Now, why is this whole focus with regard to our personal lives and actions when we are talking about global happenings in the world? Again, we refer back to the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, زَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Fasad, trials and tribulations, difficulties, masaib, musibat, has come on the surface of the land and on the surface of the sea because of the deeds of people. Because of the deeds of people. Bima kasabat aydin nas. Because of the deeds that come out from the hands of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِيُذِقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي يَعْمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the effect of those deeds. Allah allows the evil to happen so that people will get a taste of the result of those deeds, so that they turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you that this is also from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us that He warns us in advance. This is in the nature of a slap on the wrist. If you start to do something, the slap on the wrist will hurt, but it prevents us from putting our hand into the fire. And that is the nature of these things when the calamities happen. The point that I want to make to you is that we live in a world today where somebody talks about the butterfly effect, where they say, I won't go into the entire definition of what is the butterfly effect, but in one line, a butterfly flaps its wings in the Amazonian rainforest and the monsoon in India fails. And this is a provable theory. It's nothing to do with the butterfly, but it's called the butterfly effect, which is one small action somewhere affects global phenomena. Another one, we all today talk about the carbon footprint. And one of the things that we advocate is that we turn off the lights. If you're not using the lights, turn off the lights. If you're not using power in a particular place, turn off the power, and so on. And why? Because this has a positive effect. Turning the lights off has a positive effect on the global environment, on global warming. And leaving them on has a negative effect, makes global warming, accelerates global warming. Now, you know and I know that if I turn the lights off here, I'm not seeing anything. I'm neither seeing world temperature going up or down. But I still do it. Why? Because I believe in that theory. My question to myself and you is, what is wrong with us that we do not believe in what Allah tells us? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the troubles and trials and tribulations that you are facing globally are a result of your actions. Allah did not say collective actions, although it is collective actions also, but it is the result of one person's actions. Why do we not believe that where I go, what I do, what I participate in, what I spend money for, whether I pray my fard salah or not, whether I'm eating halal or not, everything has a global impact? We need to ask ourselves this question, that if I talk to you about the butterfly effect, you will believe me, nobody will challenge me. If I talk to you about global warming, if somebody challenges that, you will treat him like a fool. See, in this day and age, you are so ignorant that you don't want to understand global warming. If I tell you that you know, infection spreads through germs, you will not believe, you will not deny that and you will not refute that. But if I tell you that, and I'm not telling you that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, which is that the action, single individual action of an individual has a global impact, we have trouble believing that. So we need to seriously ask ourselves, what is the level and condition of my iman? My brothers and sisters, it's all very well to blame this country or that country, this head of state or that head of state, this king or that king, for whatever is happening in that country, which amounts to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we reflect on our own lives, we may well be faced with the bitter prospect of admitting to all the disobedience of Allah that exists in our lives. But as with other laws of existence, which we mentioned in the last khutbah, if you want to change the effect, you have to address the cause, not the symptom. Addressing symptoms at best can give temporary relief, but it will never cure the real ailment. We have to admit that we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must return to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the sunnah, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us and change our situation and conditions. We are the authors and we write our own destiny. Think about that. Every single one of us is an author. Of which book? Which book? Mali hadha al-kitab la yughadiru taghiratan wala kabira illa ahsaha. Those of you who read Surah Al-Kahf today, you read this ayat. On the day of judgment, when we get the book in our right hand or left hand, and may Allah make us all among those who get the book in the right hand. But the ones who get the book behind their back, in their left hand, what will they say? مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What kind of book is this? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْسَاهَا. Everything is in this book, small and big. But guess what? You wrote the book. You wrote the book. You had an eraser called Tawbah, which you did not use. And when we die, that's the final manuscript. Doesn't change after that. Until we die, it's in process. So let us make up our minds about one of two things. Either when we are going to die, and then we have time to wait until then. And if you really seriously believe that we don't know that, and I'm saying seriously, this is all ways of fooling ourselves. You say, oh, but I can die at any time. Do you really believe that? Do you really seriously believe that you can die at any time? Then how does your and my life reflect that belief that I can die at any time? Ask yourself these questions. Ask yourself these questions and take action. This is not rocket science. I don't have to teach you. Nobody has to teach you. You and I know enough to do what we know we must do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about these global conditions and how they help, how they are affected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ra'd, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the good condition of a people until they change the state of goodness themselves. Many times this ayat is used quite often by people and they mistranslate it. The ayah does not refer to evil. The ayah refers to goodness. Allah says, I do not disturb your condition, good condition, until you tell me to do it by committing sins. There's a famous quote by a very famous English historian who said that a great civilization is always destroyed from within. So nobody can destroy a great civilization from outside. It's always destroyed from within. And it's like a magnificent wooden edifice which is being eaten up from within, from inside, by termites. You can't see the effect outside. But inside, the termites eat it and we do nothing until one day it collapses. And they say, oh my God, how did it happen? It didn't happen. It happened because of inside. It was not the outside force, the little knock or the gust of wind which blew it down. It blew down because of what had happened to it within itself, inside itself, and then it collapses. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain understood this. And when they lost a battle, or when they faced adverse situations, they did not spend so much time analyzing the external circumstances. They spent a lot of time reflecting on themselves and asking themselves this question and saying, what is it that we are doing wrong? Which sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have we left? Which action should we be doing which we are not doing? They understood the connection of a'mal to ahwal. They understood the connection of actions to conditions. We understand this connection in a materialistic way. For example, to give you one more example, we understand that market forces in a free economy where lending rates affect economic growth, lowering the lending rates accelerates economic growth. Yes, we understand this. But we don't understand the effect of lending rates, the effect of riba and interest on that same economy. Ask yourself this question. Say exactly the same thing. We are talking about lending rates. We are talking about bank rates. We understand the effect of bank rates on economic growth. But we do not understand, or we refuse to understand. I think that's probably more correct. We refuse to face and understand the effect of not higher and lower lending rates, the effect of lending itself, of money lending on interest, on economic growth, on economic conditions, the effect of riba on the overall well-being of society. We have legitimized what we like to do by giving ourselves freedom to do it, by calling it lifestyle choice, personal freedom, and so on, ignoring that all choices have consequences, some of them permanent and painful. My brothers and sisters, we are free to choose, but no choice is free. Every choice has a price tag. Sometimes I'm asked this very reasonable question when I talk about this, that if indeed this is true, that if this law of obeying Allah and His Messenger and a unified strategy is indeed a universal law, then how is it that the Zionists, for example, who are not obedient to Allah and His Messenger, who do not believe in Allah and His Messenger, how is it that they are so successful in their aims and objectives? People ask me this question. If this is true, how come it doesn't work for them? To answer this question, I must first explain to you two things. The definition of success and the fact that the rules for insiders are different from the rules for outsiders. For insiders, the rules are more strict. Insiders are expected to follow a stricter regime. This is also the way in our life. For example, in a party, if you have invited people home and you find suddenly that the food is running out, what do you say? We used to have a saying, we used to say FHB, family hold back. That was the rule. And if you were a close enough friend of the family, it was a test. If you were a close enough friend of the family, one of the family members will tell you, you also hold back. Now, that was not an insult. That was the ultimate proof that I am one of the family. They feel comfortable enough to tell me, don't eat so much. Eat less, because we have guests. Family hold back. Stricter regime. This is also our rule in our life. Rules for insiders are different from rules for outsiders. You have weddings. People get invitations. You don't get an invitation. What do? You say, Alhamdulillah, I'm a member of the family. I don't need an invitation. If you ask them, how come you didn't send me an invitation? What do they say? Acha, aapko rukha ho na? Aane ko? Not only are you supposed to come for the wedding, you are supposed to come without your finery and arrange the chairs. And you are supposed to go. I am living proof, and I can even name the people because you know those people. When Samana and Ali Bilgrami got married, I personally slaughtered 250 chickens. Because I went there to Lady Hazri Club where the wedding was. And all the chickens were there, all the cooks were there. So I said, how come the food is not being cooked? He said, Murugi zubah karne ke liye koi bhi nahi hai, wala tumhara pure musalman hai na aro. How sab magar nahi aata. Now that tells you what you are eating, wala hala. So I said, lao, main kaatta hu. Aap kaatte ho, kaatte nahi kaatte, kya karte? Zinda murga pakate. 250 murga zubah kara main zindagi us waqt. Kya kyun kare? Because my closeness to those people. Because I am not an outsider. My closeness to those people. And the beauty of it was that no one even thanked me. And I consider that to be the ultimate proof that my belief was not foolish. They considered me to be a member of the family. You don't thank them. This is what you are supposed to do. Rules for insiders are different from rules for outsiders. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's look at these two things. What is success and what about the rules? Success, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everyone will taste death. If you were born, you will die. And only on the day of resurrection, Yawmul Qiyamah, only on that day will you be paid your wages in full. We get a taste of that in this world, both good and bad. But the complete reward is only on the day of judgment. And what is that reward? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined that. Whoever is removed from the hellfire and entered into Jannah, فَقَدْ فَاز. In Arabic there are two words which are used in the Quran also for success. One is falah, the other one is fawz. Falah is success which is temporary. One test, success, but that does not mean there is no other test after that. There has to be, maybe there is some other test. It's like your matric exam. You pass that, that's not the end of your education, hopefully. You then go to bachelor's, and then there's another exam, and then you have master's, another exam, and then PhD, and another exam, and so on and so on. It doesn't end. But fawz is the final success, after which there are no exams. The one who is fakhad faz, for him there is no other exam. وَمَنْ زُحْزِ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَاز. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated and said, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Remember, this dunya is only an enjoyment and a place of deception. So what is the success? Success is not what happens in the world, but what happens when we meet Allah. Success must be measured by the result of our actions, not by result of the actions in terms of the akhirah, not in this dunya. Now anyone with discretion can see that in our materialistic world and its hedonistic standards, we have created a society that pretends to be happy and contented, but is based on a system that uses discontent to fuel growth. That is the philosophy behind all materialism, behind all marketing, behind all advertising. Convert desire to need. Convert desire to need. Convert want to must have. I saw a headline the other day which says, if you shop, you exist. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. If you shop, you exist. Now, what is this economy? This philosophy is where a person will do anything to buy what he doesn't need, to show people he doesn't like, and to live a life of slavery for the next 20 years to pay for what he will eventually discard and leave behind. There is a philosophical question in in quantum physics. We say if a tree falls in the middle of the Amazonian rainforest and nobody saw it fall, then did it fall? Did it fall? How many of us like to wear nice jewelry? I always strongly recommend to my brothers here, buy your wife a solitaire that will make her walk in ruku for the rest of her life. 20 kilograms around the neck, beautiful. But imagine, how many of you are happy with wearing that jewelry inside your home, looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, Alhamdulillah, and then take it off, put it back somewhere, and when you go to a party, you don't wear it. Now you say, you're crazy. The purpose of wearing jewelry is to see the look in the eyes of the one looking at you. When you see them turning a bilious shade of green, that's what gives satisfaction. Not the jewelry. That's why I recommend to people, anyone who buys an actual Rolex, I know several of them here who have bought Rolexes. Please forgive me for saying that, but I think that's insane. You should buy a $100 replica for Rolex. Because the purpose of a Rolex is not to see the time. It is to show the world. And if I'm wearing $100, I'm not wearing it here, but if I'm wearing $100 replica, you look at it from there, you say, oh, mashallah, Sheikh has got a Rolex. And I don't know anybody who will actually come and see, can I see that? Is it genuine? They won't do that. It's ill-mannered to do that. So the purpose of a Rolex is served by spending $100. Why would you want to spend more? It's crazy, no? But that is our world. This is the materialistic world. And I am saying this with great authority because I teach this rubbish in other places. I teach it because they pay me money to teach it. When I teach marketing, what am I teaching? Exactly the same thing. Convert desire into need. So people will buy what they don't need to show people they don't like. And then they pay for the rest of their lives for something which they are going to leave behind. I mean, this is completely insane, but that's exactly what it is. I'm putting it into a theoretical framework so that you will stop shopping. And that's why they call it therapy, yeah? Retail therapy. Who gets therapy? Somebody who's sick or somebody who's well? My brothers and sisters, that is the reason why our entertainment consists of ways to make us forget the reality of our lives and transport us, however temporarily, into a world of make-believe. A necessary release without which we would burn out. Yet we pretend that this life is a dream that we need to chase. A dream, the waking up from which is called death. A dream which in reality is a nightmare, but we choose to ignore its horror and forget ourselves and continue to live our lives in a self-induced trance. However, ignoring reality neither makes it go away, nor does it save us from its evil. So we continue to suffer even though we have the solution and can not only alleviate our own suffering but also help others if we only face facts and take positive action. But that takes courage, which Allah reminds us. Islam, on the other hand, is deeply rooted in fact and reality, which we will face, that all actions have consequences in this life and that one day there will be a reckoning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu about what we chose to do and chose not to do, and a price to pay or a reward to receive for our choices. Nobody can hide from Allah. And that is the definition of success. The second rule is to understand that when you enter Islam, the rules change for you. And that's because you now know Allah. And you can connect to Him and access His power and access His help. And you are now an insider. And so a different code of conduct is expected from you. Once again, go back to the seerah for an illustration. Take the example of the Battle of Hunain, where the Sahaba were united and they had material resources, but they fell in their mind to relying on their material more than relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once again the battle turned into a rout. It was only when they renewed their pledge, so to speak, and answered the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned the tide of battle back in their favor. The unity and material did not help them when their tawakkul moved from Allah. And when they changed their stance, they were victorious once again. Insiders, different rules. For insiders, different rules. Take the case, to illustrate this further, take the case of the letter that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wrote to Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu when the latter was commanding the army at the Battle of Qadsiyah. Who are these two people? Asharum Mubashara. People who had been promised Jannah in this life. How many of us are in that position? One is writing a letter to the other. One is the Amir al-Mu'mineen. The other one is the commander-in-chief of the army. And this letter shows the understanding that the Sahaba had about cause and effect. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I order you and all troops that are along with you to be obedient to Allah in all circumstances, as this is better than weapons against the enemy. And it's better than a strong strategy in war. I order you and the soldiers who are with you to be more cautious and afraid of your own crimes and sins than of your enemy, as the crimes and sins of the soldiers are more dangerous to them than the enemy. SubhanAllah, Ajib. Think about this, my brothers and sisters. He goes on to say, the Muslims are victorious only because their enemies are disobedient to Allah. And had it not been so, we have no power over them. Because neither our number is equal to their number, nor are our weapons like theirs. If we commit crimes and sins as they do, then they, our enemies, will have superiority over us in power, and we will not gain victory over them. We do not overpower them with their strength. I want you to underline the words. If we commit crimes and sins like them, he did not say more than them. Please tell me, how is our life, how are our ethics and morals and values, how is our society different from the people who we claim are against Islam? You are the best judge. Judge for yourself. He continues, radiallahu anhu, and you should also know that in this marching of yours, fi sabilillah, there are guards upon you from Allah. And they will know what you do. So be shy from them and do not commit Allah's disobedience while you are going in Allah's cause. And do not say, our enemy is worse than us, so they will not overpower us. Perhaps some people who are worse than the others may overpower the others, as the disbelievers, the people of Babylon, they overpowered the Bani Israel when they involved themselves with Allah's disobedience. So they, the disbelievers, entered the very innermost parts of their homes, and it was a promise fulfilled. And ask Allah for assistance over yourselves, just as you ask Allah for victory over your enemies. I ask Allah for that, both for you and for us. The advice of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is with reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mention of the incident with Bani Israel when Jerusalem was sacked twice by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar in 600 BC and then the Roman emperor Titus in 31 BC. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Al-Isra, and he said, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعَلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we decreed for the children of Israel in the scripture that indeed they do mischief on the earth twice, and they would become tyrants and extremely arrogant. And so when the promise for the first of the two, we sent against you our slaves given to terrible warfare, and they entered the very innermost parts of your homes, and it was a promise completely fulfilled. The ayah goes on for a few more ayat until ayah number 8 of Suratul Bani Israel or Suratul Isra. My brothers and sisters, it's an interesting thing for us to reflect that Allah didn't say that it was the Bani Israel who lived in Jerusalem who were disobedient. Please think about this. Allah did not say that this happened to Jerusalem because the Bani Israel, the Jewish people living in Jerusalem were disobedient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the Bani Israel in general wherever they lived at the time, which was not only in Jerusalem. Allah mentioned the Bani Israel many times and gave us their example, as we are closest to them and we are the ummah who succeeded them. So it is for us to learn from their lives and examples and avoid the same mistakes. One of my shuyukh used to say, Makkah and Medina are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely. Aqsa is protected by the amal of the Muslims. He said, Allah will protect the Haramain Sharifain, but the third haram is protected by the amal of the Muslims. He did not say it is protected by the amal of people in Jerusalem. He did not say it is protected by the amal of people of Gaza, amal of the Muslims. Make dua to Allah that Allah does not hold me and does not hold you responsible for what is happening in Aqsa today. My brothers and sisters, all these ayats clearly connect the issues of personal conduct and collective conduct to the external conditions that we are faced with, and to the fact that the rules for Muslims are different and they are held to a higher moral standard than those who are not Muslim yet. And that is why Muslims are punished more quickly and apparently for lesser crimes than those who are not Muslim yet. This is actually a mercy from Allah, because the punishment of Allah in the Akhirah is much worse than whatever worldly trials we may face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this slap on the wrist is what He gives so that we will return to Him. وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And verily we will make them taste the near torment before, in the life of this world, that is calamities, disasters and so on, prior to the supreme torment in the hereafter, in order that they may return to us. And about those who refuse and who continue on their path of self-destruction despite warnings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah said, and when they refused to listen, and when they had forgotten all that they had been told to take to heart, when they forgot all the warnings and they refused all the warnings, what did Allah say? Did He say He will send adab? Allah said, we threw open to them the gates of all good things. When they refuse to obey Allah, when they become rebellious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we open the doors of everything. They will have more money, they will have more popularity, they will have more wealth, they will have more power, they will have more izzah in this dunya. Allah will open the doors. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, until when they are in the midst of rejoicing of what they had been granted, we suddenly grab them. We suddenly grab them. And they are broken in spirit. Somebody came to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi and said, yeah Imam, you keep saying that, you know, evil begets evil, good begets good, so don't do evil and don't do commit sins and so on, but this is not our experience in life. We find that people who are doing evil, people who are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are getting more and more. Nothing is happening to them. They're getting more and more. Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi said, may Allah fill his qabr with nur and grant him the highest stations in Jannah. Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi pointed out this ayah and he said, have you not read this ayat in Surah Al-An'am? He said, this ayah is proof that if you are disobeying Allah and you find that nothing is happening to you, that you are becoming wealthier and healthier and the next word you guess, then what will happen to you? Imam Shafi'i said, if you find this is happening to you, that if you are disobeying Allah and you are getting more and more, he said, this is a sign that the azab of Allah has already begun for you. That the door of tawbah has been shut for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shortly grab you in a condition where you will not even have the opportunity to make tawbah. And then they are broken in spirit. I ask Allah to save us from this. How many examples are there right here in this city? I'm not going to name them because there is no need. You know what is happening in this city much better than I do. Please understand, those who do something and those who participate in that are equally culpable. The one doing ghibah, the one listening to ghibah are both equally culpable. The one who is organizing something which is haram and the one who goes to that function are equally culpable. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there are four kinds of people. Two will go into Jannah and two will go into Jahannam. He said the one who does good, he has wealth and power and he does good, he uses it to earn hasanat, will go into Jannah. He said also the one who does not have wealth and power And who says, oh Allah, if only I had wealth and power, I would have done what this man is doing. In his heart, he has this desire, I want to do this. If Allah had given me wealth, I would have spent it in his path. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even though he does not have wealth, Allah will still give him Jannah for this desire. And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who does evil, who organizes evil, who does evil, who commits evil, will go into Jahannam. And the one who also wishes, if I had the money, I would have done this. If I had the power, I would have done this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even he will go into Jannah, even though he hasn't done anything. But because his desire is that he should have done it. How pathetic is that? How absolutely pathetic is that? You didn't even do anything. All you did was go to that place. Why did you go to that place? Didn't you know that what is happening there is not permissible? Why did you go to that place? To do what? Please understand, those who support evil are with the people who do that evil. Supporting evil is by participating in that. The only reason you can have to go to a place in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being disobeyed is to stand there and publicly denounce it. If you don't have the courage to do that, stay away. Stay away, don't go there. My brothers and sisters, we see and understand with our knowledge, not by looking. There is a difference between looking and seeing. To see means to understand. We see with our knowledge. Islam gives us the lens to view the world and to understand its reality in the light of the knowledge that its creator gave us. That is why a Muslim must strive to be a diagnostician, not merely a spectator. A Muslim must diagnose the problem, derive a cure, and apply it. Only then will conditions change. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy for Palestine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy for us. Because we are all responsible for Palestine. Make no mistake. Palestine is the meter of the health of this ummah. Palestine is the thermometer with which the health of this ummah is measured. I don't think I need to say anything more. I have written another article which is called Palestine, What is Happening? Or Why is it Happening? I think Palestine, Why is it Happening? Which is a continuation from this khutbah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me the ability and the life, inshallah, when I come back from the UK, we will continue with that. But those of you who are interested can go to my blog and read it. We just put it out on this morning on the group, and you're welcome to read that. I've done a historical analysis also of all that is happening there and why it's happening. Wallahu alam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the wisdom to understand what is going on and to do what needs to be done and to face the fact that what needs to be done is not out there, it is right in here in our own lives. And make no mistake, just like turning off one light affects global warming, doing one sin affects the global condition of the ummah. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one matter affects the global condition of the ummah. The sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not left to our whims and fancies to follow as we wish. It is a fard on the ummah to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make no mistake, if you want to continue to fool yourself, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect this ummah from you. Because you are the cause of bringing upon this ummah the calamities that everybody is facing. Correct yourself and correct the people with you. Don't sit silently and don't watch the fun. Correct the people with you. Because that action is affecting us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, people are like those on a ship. The ones on the lower deck and the ones on the upper deck. And he said that the ones on the lower deck, if they feel that to get water, let us make a hole in the side of the ship and take water from there. If the people on the upper deck do not stop them, the whole ship will sink and everybody will die. See the beautiful, simple example to understand what is going on in this world. And that is what is happening. There are people, there are Muslims who are making holes in the ship. And others are keeping quiet. Others are supporting them tacitly. Others are supporting them by going there. Others are supporting them by saying, oh, but you know, after all, he's my friend, he's my relative. If I say something, he will be offended. Then be prepared to die together. Because that is what is going to happen. That is what is going to happen. You can see newspaper headlines on a daily basis where you find the screws are getting tightened. Nothing happens without the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe me. Nobody but nobody can do anything to you or me unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits. And Allah does not permit unless we ask Him to permit. And how do we ask Allah to permit calamities to come on us? By disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how small. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do what is beneficial for us and to save us from ourselves and our own nufus and to save us from the deception of shaitan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you for coming here, to accept all your du'as. Today is Jummah, time for acceptance of du'a. Make a lot of du'a for yourself and for your families and for Gaza and for Palestine and for the Muslims everywhere. Also, be very clear in your mind. Make du'a for people who are being oppressed by Muslims. You've got a bunch of bandits in Iraq called ISIS. There is a Khalifatul Shayateen in that. He calls himself Amirul Mu'mineen. He should call himself Amirul Shayateen. They're slaughtering people. Ethnic cleansing of Christians is as despicable and as bad as ethnic cleansing of Muslims or ethnic cleansing of anybody else. We do not support them, we reject them, we throw them out in the garbage which is where they belong, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse the earth from people like this. The big games which are being played in this on a global scale by people who are completely and totally cynical, who don't care two hoots what happens to anybody. Don't fall into these traps. I see emails flying around all over the place. People take a hadith completely out of context. Please. At least don't display your ignorance. Be ignorant, no problem, keep shut. Don't send out stupid emails and don't forward stupid emails displaying your ignorance. Go and learn some deen if you don't know. What is jihad? Jihad is what Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu did. When Jerusalem was liberated, what did Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, what did he do? He protected the Jews and the Christians. He protected the cathedrals. He protected the bishops and the rabbis. He told them, there is no problem with you. Practice your religion. Worship in your churches and in your synagogues. You will be protected by the Muslims. Nobody will touch you. Nobody will take anything from you. This was jihad. Murder is murder, no matter who does it. The crime for in the Islamic law is for murder is hanging, is death. Please understand. Anyone preaches anything other than that, responsibility, if you listen to them, is on yours. I am making myself absolutely clear. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see the reality of our actions and to do that which is pleasing to Him and beneficial for us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the deception of shayateen min al-insi wal-jinn, shaitans who are in the form of human beings and shaitan who are in their real form. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from our own nufus and to save us from our own desires and to save us from our own ignorance. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of His protection and safety for all oppressed people on the face of this earth. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove all oppressors from the face of this earth wherever they might be. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.